Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You guys may remember that on Monday's show, I told you I wanted to give you the college football all-name team for 2024, but then we never got to it. We write that wrong today. 4:45, I will give you the best names in college football in 2024. 4:25, which Commanders are under the brightest lights, spotlight on going to the Jets, are the guys I'm most excited to see how they perform in these joint practice and preseason actions against New York. That's coming up this hour right here on Grant and Danny without Danny. The exclusive sponsor of this show is Kondorian Murad, the law firm that is going to guide you and your family in the right direction. They're going to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a power of attorney for you if needed. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you are winning two tickets to see Blues Traveler and Big Head Todd with the Monsters Friday, August 23rd at the Center at Wolf Trap. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. Congrats to the winner. Your next chance to win tickets on Grant and Danny to Blues Traveler this month is tomorrow at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz. Speaking of which, we got the Nats, the NFL, the Commanders. Let's get to it right now. Pete Medhurst, pre and post Nationals Radio Network. You hear him in the booth filling in for Charlie and Dave throughout the season as well. Pete, you were at the ballpark last night. So was I. Welcome to the James Wood Show. What an unbelievable performance that was for the rookie outfielder.
You know, Grant, last night when I was talking with Charlie and Dave on the crossover, you know, I did utter the words Juan Soto. And just at this point, when Juan first came up as a left-handed hitter, James is exuding some of the same traits, willingness to go the other way with pitches that are out there, not trying to pull everything, showing incredible patience at the plate. We can only hope the results, and over the last 7 days, his OPS is almost 600. If these types of results continue, we're talking about a young man that has the potential, obviously, to be the face of the franchise going forward, but more importantly, hopefully be the core that leads to more success for this franchise. Just tremendous display of a lot of different skills. Yeah, he made the error out left field, and I'm sure, you know, he's kicking himself a little bit about that, but my goodness, at the plate, he put on quite a show of offensive skill last night.
Yeah, he has been struggling defensively and left, no doubt about that. I think he'll get more comfortable. It's just not a natural position for him. He's never played left prior to just before he got called up. He's been a center fielder and a right fielder. So he's got some work to do in the outfield, but he's hitting .391 in his last seven games, .315 over his last 15. He's now up to .270 with a .790 OPS through 115 at-bats. And man, I mean, the opposite field power, the triple off the wall yesterday, the ball that he hit on the inner corner to that area of the ballpark over the red seats and left center, Pete, I don't remember a left fielder going to that area of the park. It's just a really special skill set that so few guys have at 6'7". With his speed, he stole two bases last night.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he has the innate ability, Grant, almost at times to let the ball travel too much to him at the plate. But that just goes to show you the amount of patience, the eye that he has, but more importantly, the bat speed and the hands to get it through the zone, even though the pitch may be that late in the strike zone, his ability to get the hands to the ball, get the barrel to the ball, and do that kind of damage with it. Again, great players have exclusive traits. There's not many people in that category, Grant, and at least at his age and with the small sample size right now, he's exuding the traits that better than average and maybe even great players eventually have.
What do you make of Mackenzie Gore's immense struggles over the last several weeks?
You know, look, that's one of the great mysteries of this team this year, because he has the terrible first inning. He locks it in and survives. You could have never convinced me he was going to be the winning pitcher in a game last night,
right,
when he left the hill at the end of the top of the first inning. That shows you that he's got the requisite arsenal. But, you know, I mean, you know, Grant, I mean, it's a finite level, man. You leave a pitch in the wrong place in this game, and dudes can do serious damage with it right now. And he just at times doesn't execute, you know, precisely where he wants the pitch to be. We all agree the arsenal's fantastic, but pitch execution, you know, CC Sabathia talked about it, I thought, on the Saturday night game very well. Early in his career, he was a thrower. He wasn't a pitcher. And perhaps at times, that's what Mackenzie Gore is right now. He's more thrower sometimes than pitcher. Hard, when he makes mistakes, that's the thrower in Mackenzie Gore. But when the pitcher Mackenzie Gore locks in, you've got a tremendous left-hander that can do a lot of damage and is supposed to be a top-of-rotation guy for you. As a young pitcher, Grant, I think that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing instances where sometimes he's a thrower, sometimes he's a pitcher, and the results are pretty much what they are when he falls in to those respective places as a pitcher.
Lastly, tonight, back in action at home, 6:45 game. Blake Snell coming off a no-hitter for the Giants. Jake Irvin, who's been Washington's best starter circuit-to-circuit this year with a 3.56 ERA. What do we need to know?
Look, I mean, obviously everybody's going to be seeing if Snell can back it up and do it again. Blake Snell's always had tremendous artillery. The great thing about the Nats this year, if it's one thing we found out Jake Irvin at best right now at least exudes the ability to be a top three starter. So while the end results, the win total's not going to be where you'd like it at the end of the season, the Nats have figured out some things, particularly with these young pitchers, and Jake Irvin looks like he's going to be a core piece of this rotation going forward for this franchise, no doubt about it. Should be a good one if we can avoid the raindrops enough to get it in tonight.
Pete, thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
That is the Nats portion of the Beltway Blitz. Let's talk football. Around the NFL we go. Our guy, Zach Kruger, joins us on the Beltway Blitz. Normally, when I'm texting and talking with you, it's about fantasy football, and we can get into some of that in a moment. But I want to get your thoughts on a couple of big headlines. First of all, how good do you think Brandon Ayuk is? Is he worth a package of picks, a veteran receiver, and about $30 million a year?
First of all, Grant, happy to be on and always talk fantasy with you. But, yeah, no, I mean, from an analytics standpoint, Ayuk is obviously a stud. We've seen how not just Ayuk, but then also Deebo Samuel can thrive in the Kyle Shanahan system. We know that that's a system that it does a great job at creating space for wide receivers and also Christian McCaffrey to operate and create after the catch. So the question becomes, when a team finally pulls the trigger on the Ayuk deal when it comes to the money and the draft picks and everything, you're right, how good is he? I think that it's hard to argue that he's anything but an absolute stud in the NFL, but we are possibly looking at him go to a Steelers offense. I know that they've been kind of hot on the rumor mill this past day or so with how things are kind of developing there. If he goes to a team like the Steelers, he's going to an Arthur Smith team who we've seen further emphasize the run game more than any coach in the league back when he was with the Falcons over the last several years. We know he shies away from his big weapons a lot of the time, which has been a frustrating thing for fantasy managers. Can we see that Ayuk efficiency in an offense that's probably going to dial back the passing game if he ends up going there, that maybe doesn't find ways to create as much space if he goes there? I think Ayuk is a stud, but I think I think his numbers are getting a big Shanahan bump. And I do think it's a legitimate question to ask, is he worth the picks and the money that you're going to give up to put him in an offense that is undoubtedly going to be a downgrade from Shanahan wherever he lands? I think he's a stud, but there's certainly concerns there depending on the landing spot.
Roto World's Zach Kruger. So where do you think he ends up, or do you think he ends up playing in San Fran? How do you see it ending?
It's a tough one. For right now, I would say I do think it comes down to kind of the Steelers or San Fran, just based on what we know. It sounds like the Patriots are out of it. They kind of said they were done with that. We've had reports on that. There was an article published yesterday I believe it was by Mike Reese, the Patriots beat writer, and he had mentioned the Steelers, the Browns as two possible teams. And then when I was actually working on a new shift, I noticed he didn't even mention the Commanders in the article, which I thought was interesting because obviously we know about the Jaden Daniels ties. There is a part of me that's wondering, because I think the Ravens kind of did something similar to this with Lamar. If they aren't letting him shop the market and kind of letting him see how other teams value him before deciding if it's better to trade him or if the numbers that he's hearing back are similar to what the 49ers are offering him, and then he ends up re-upping with the team that obviously can give him the money that he's seeing from elsewhere while also having the best chance to win. So I think it comes down to the Steelers or the 49ers, and if the 49ers are letting some other teams do their bidding just to see what's out there, it wouldn't surprise me.
Roto World's Zachary Kruger, he's on Twitter at ZK_FFB if you want to follow him there. I mean, you guys do such a good job, and you specifically are always scouring the web for all of the, you know, the practice storylines and figuring out who's getting highly regarded by different coaching staffs throughout the process. I mean, how much, from a fantasy perspective, as we get ready for our draft, should we care about guys having good practices or standing out in a preseason game as opposed to getting overexcited about that and then that burning us when the season starts?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's always definitely a fine needle to thread. I think for me, when it comes down to it, the thing that I like to look at the most is when writers are talking about running back snap shares in training camp, because certainly we know how these practices are done. They're certainly organized in such a way where it's trying to keep injuries to a minimum and keep players healthy for the start of the regular season. So that stuff is always going to, you know, play a role in how these players' efforts are looking on the field. It's one thing when you know certain players can't hit you or play as hard as maybe they would on a Sunday versus in a more controlled environment. So one thing that I always think is valuable, though, when reporters are just kind of throwing out there, hey, so-and-so is working a lot with the ones versus another guy who maybe we expected to see working with the first or second team offense maybe isn't as much. One of the guys who's been a riser the last couple weeks in terms of those kind of rumors is Eagles running back Will Shipley. It started out where it was like Kenny Gainwell, the incumbent in that Eagles backfield, was playing a lot behind Saquon Barkley. And then more recently, that's kind of shifted to more of a Will Shipley conversation. And now we're asking, is Will Shipley maybe going to be the guy who was drafted, you know, this year as a rookie, and maybe he's the guy who kind of fills more of that satellite back role when Saquon Barkley's not on the field. So I like paying attention to rumors like that of when someone's on the field, and I kind of downplay like the hyped up stuff about how great they look. It's certainly encouraging, but we know that doesn't always translate come week one.
That's a good answer. A lot of good information. Zach Kruger, go check him out. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, be good. Let's talk local football. My guy, maybe your guy too, but mostly my guy, Michael Phillips. Danny's out today, Michael, so you're stuck with me. What do you make of all of the love for Jaden Daniels out of practice? I guess I'm partially guilty of it. I went out there, was blown away. He looks really good.
I just want to be somebody's guy, and Jaden Daniels is somebody's guy. He's good. We can talk about the love for him locally and how it's not quite there. I'm curious, though. Good Jets defense tomorrow, joint practices. I'm wondering if we're going to learn a thing or two tomorrow. I'm very curious about these workouts.
I totally agree with you, because I think what happens is when you're practicing against your own guys for days, not only do you start to pick up nuances and really file things away when you're smart, like Jaden Daniels is, but I think you also have the answers on defense. You know, going into a practice, what coverages are run on what plays and what the idea is, right? For that defense against your offense. So you basically have the answer key. I can't wait to see what it looks like when he doesn't.
And let's not forget, this is a Jets defense that almost dragged Zach Wilson into the playoffs last year. I mean, this is an impressive collection of players. They're playing for jobs. They're playing for starting time. I think it's going to be a great experience for Jaden Daniels. Either way, could be good, could be bad. He's going to learn from it either way, and I think people will be excited about it. You nailed it, Practice gets monotonous. You get the same thing every day. You get coaches who blow the whistle quickly on the defensive line, right? And I'll be curious how much they let go in the preseason game and obviously at the joint practices where it's a more controlled environment. This offensive line remains a big question mark, and I think we've got a lot to learn about them in the next 2 weeks as well.
Speaking of learning, what have we learned about Dan Quinn so far in camp?
Well, I think he's what he advertised himself as, which is high energy delegator, right? You would say this is Witt's defense. This is Cliff's offense. Not afraid to get in the weeds, not afraid to mix it up with players, give them tips. It's funny because the knock when he was hired was, here comes another Ron Rivera. And I don't think that's unfair in a lot of ways. He is another Ron Rivera. I think the key difference I like to point out to people, though, Ron Rivera arrived from Carolina and said, what we did in Carolina was awesome. We're going to do it here. We're going to run it back, and you're going to love it. And he did. He ran it back, and he didn't change his method. And it worked as well as it did in Carolina. Dan Quinn has come in saying, hey, some of the things I did in Atlanta, I've learned from, and I want to do new things, and I want to do new approaches and test new things. I think that's where you're going to see the growth. That's where you're going to see a coach who hopefully has asked some good questions, gotten some good answers, and when we get into the battles, into the fires here, we'll behave accordingly.
Should Adam Peters be trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk?
Well, I just don't like the price, right? If you're giving away a first-round draft pick and giving him top receiver, you know, money, that's a lot to pay for a team that is not on the verge of something, right? That's a price you pay when you feel you're right there. I think it makes a ton of sense for the Steelers. I'm probably more bullish than most people on Russell Wilson. I think he's in line for a bounce-back year, sign a big contract. Somebody will regret signing him to a big contract. The circle of life moves on. I think that's a team that can push the chips in and say, let's get our guy a guy and do it. That price doesn't make sense for me. I still come back, though, Grant. I know you think this, too. Why in the world would the Niners do this trade when they're all in, when they're in Super Bowl mode? I don't get what they have to gain from this. I don't get why they've allowed it to go this far.
It's my guy, Michael Phillips, Odyssey in Richmond. Thank you, sir, as always.
Take care, Grant.
MP on the mic, breaking down the Commanders. All of our coverage of training camp and our analysis on the team these days is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Which players is the joint practice with the Jets tomorrow and preseason game number one Saturday most important for? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 30 minutes at 5 o'clock on G&D, Kevin Clark of ESPN, who's in a training camp tour mode. I want to talk to him about some of the stops he has made. And we'll do that right here on The Fan. And in about 15 minutes, the college football all-name team. I just think some of the names are incredible. And I will bounce them off Darius and Ryan. We'll see what some of their favorites are. That's coming up at 4:45. But right now, I wanted to get into a spotlight on the Commanders as they get ready to play a joint practice session against the Jets tomorrow and then eventually a preseason game on Saturday at noon. Make note of that, by the way. This was not rescheduled from the night to the morning, a la the Nats tomorrow, who were going to play at 4 and now they're playing at noon because of inclement weather pending. This is a scheduled noon kickoff for preseason action on Saturday, which is pretty obscure. But I got five guys. I made a list of five players that I think are going to be the most intriguing to see in this joint practice. So I'll just get the obligatory one out of the way first. It's easy, it's lazy, and we'll get it out of the way and we'll keep moving. Jaden Daniels, right? I mean, it's obvious. I've got to see, like the rest of you, what does this look like now against a real, legitimate NFL defense with, yes, it's not live. Sure, the bullets aren't flying like they're going to be eventually, but without a plan as to what they're running, not knowing what coverage you're getting before the snap, which is something if he chose to, he could know at any of these training camp practices against his own team. We're going to learn more about Jaden Daniels tomorrow in that joint practice with New York than we have in any practice he's had so far, period. And then in the preseason game, and Jay Gruden was just sitting in studio for a couple of hours, and I thank him for having joined us, he made it very clear at the quarterback position, more so than any other spot, the game is so much more incrementally and exponentially more valuable than anything that you're doing in practices. Because you are going to get hit, you're going to take on contact, the ability to be tackled is on the table, and all of your reactions change when that's the case. Because he made a good point. I'm thinking, well, in practice, you know, they're going to blow the whistle if there's a rusher near you, and sacks are still counted, basically, even though you can roll out of it and make a throw or go down or whatever. And Jay's point is, you operate differently when you know that you might get hit hard, and it could hurt. And that's going to happen for the first time in a preseason drive, and he's probably not going to get more than one of them, at max two of them, on Saturday. So that's number one. I think it's obvious. It's easy, so I don't want to spend any more time on it, but the Commanders player I'm most excited to see perform against the Jets is Jaden Daniels. Number two on this list is Brandon Coleman, the left tackle. There's a legitimate chance that Brandon Coleman wins the starting job on the left side, and that would be a massive coup and a big-time boon for this front office. After they decided to take Daniels at number two, and then they came back with multiple picks in round two, and they chose Johnny Newton at 36, a defensive tackle, and Mikey Sanristel right at 50 out of Michigan, the nickel corner. In fact, they had a third pick in the second round, remember, and they went tight end Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State, who's going to be behind Zach Ertz on the depth chart. It was the third round, and they still hadn't gone offensive line. Fourth pick they're making, and they grabbed Brandon Coleman, who a lot of people said was a guard. They immediately announce him as a tackle. They tell you, we think he can play left tackle. And from the moment the draft ended, the narrative has been, this will be a watershed selection for this class. This is going to be a really big pendulum-swinging pick to figure out how sharp this draft class was and this front office's process was this year. But can you imagine if Coleman ends up being the guy at left tackle and he's really good, what the potential for this class becomes with Daniels, your quarterback, added in round one? Great reports on Sanristel. I was super happy with how he looked when I was out there. He's physical. He's instinctual. Some of that, I think, comes from him having played both sides of the ball, having been a former receiver. But he's just a willing engager at the line of scrimmage, throwing his body around, and it's hard to play in the nickel, and he did it at an exceptionally high level with the Wolverines last year, had the pick six in the national championship game. Johnny Newton, maybe not right away, because Allen and Payne are two of your best football players. They don't come off the field very much, but he's got a chance to be a pass-rushing, pocket-collapsing presence at defensive tackle. So now you're talking about a world where maybe Daniels, Sharpie, stud, Sanristel, Sharpie, stud, and this hypothetical, Brandon Coleman, that guy at left tackle, he's a dude. Johnny Newton, star up front. If you have that type of draft class to get your stay as a front office started, it's a whole new ballgame moving forward with our confidence in these decision makers. Because after years of going, I don't love how you addressed offensive line. You probably should have done more. It ended up being that when the dust settled, they should have done more, and they were wrong. Can you imagine if now, this time, they go, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. We got Brandon Coleman. We're fine. And then they were right, and they found a guy. They were smarter than all the other teams that nobody else saw in the same lens that they did, and they were the team that was right. Oh, man, would that be fun. And it is possible now. That's on the table. That could happen. Not all the time, but sometimes. When you get a really good talent evaluator like they did at GM and Peters, when he brings in a very skilled evaluator to be his assistant in Lance Newmark. When you build out the front office with the reinforcements that they did, the depth and all of the departments from R&D to player personnel like they did, they're built like a real NFL front office. And Jay was just sitting in here when we did the Ask Jay Gruden Anything segment at the end of his hour, and he talked about his frustration in the end with Snyder having been that really they didn't have a whole lot of control over picking their own players. What he didn't say, the quiet part there was, what got annoying was being told, you have to sign this guy, Terrell Pryor. You have to draft this guy, the late, sadly, Dwayne Haskins. Whoever it may have been along the way that you would butt heads with the Dan Snyder regime and people around him over, and then you just got to go coach him. That's your job. Go win football games. Well, you don't have an owner telling you who to draft anymore. You don't have a non-football executive, which is what Bruce was initially and should have always been as the team president, helping you form your roster. And I think that is the real game changer here. So Coleman, number two on my list, has been working against what is a mediocre to sub-average defensive end class for this team. Cleveland Farrell's more of a run stuffer. KJ Henry is kind of a back of the roster guy. Dante Fowler, who we had on the show yesterday, go grab that podcast if you want. He was awesome. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio. He is one-dimensional, I would say, is how it's been the last few years in his usage. He took issue with that yesterday, said he thinks he should be a three-down guy, and we'll see if he can prove that this year. But he's a decent speed rusher. He's probably as good a test as you're going to get if you're Brandon Coleman among quality edge pass rushers at camp. But you're about to get tested a lot better than that against the Jets. Coleman did not practice yesterday. I'm really hoping, my fingers are crossed, he's able to go tomorrow, because there's a lot to learn if he's going up against former first-round pick Jermaine Johnson. I guess Hassan Reddick still isn't around or isn't practicing or doing a whole lot, but they've got Will McDonald, who they drafted in the first round, Michael Clemens, who's a pass rusher for them, who's decent. Obviously, up front, the defensive tackles that run some games and loop around, you might have to tangle with occasionally. Javon Kinlaw and Quinnen Williams, a couple of the best in the game. Dealing with linebackers, if they decide to come downhill, Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley. Like, that's a defense comprised of one standout after another, Pro Bowl caliber player after another. So Coleman, second on my list. This will be his first truly game-like telling test, and I'm fired up for that. Third on my list of Commanders players that I think we'll learn the most about against the Jets, joint practice and preseason, I'm going to throw Emmanuel Forbes out there just to see where is he at this point. And I don't mean on the depth chart after he was listed as a backup yesterday, even though he's been getting run with the starters for the most part at camp. But where is he in his development, in his effort to get back on track? He is leaving last year in the rearview mirror, which he should. And he is, I think, putting a lot of his eggs in the Dan Quinn, Joe Witt basket in hopes that he can be the latest member of their DB Reclamation Society. He doesn't look like a prototypical corner that they would have turned into a stud with the size and the length, but he's got the ball skills, doesn't he? Record for pick sixes in a season in college football and all time, the collegiate level. According to him, in an interview I did with him last week, and you can find it at thefandc.com, he said that Quinn was very interested in drafting him when he was with the Cowboys a year ago, when Forbes came out, and he thought Dallas might have been where he ended up before Washington took him. Now, take that for what it's worth. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems like they've got a rapport and Quinn likes his game. But I just want to see, you know, he's made some plays in practice. There have been some times where he's going up against Terry McLaurin when I've been out there, and it's pretty obvious that McLaurin is on another weight class, that he's just literally and figuratively, I guess. But he's just a level up. But if you could go out, if you're Emmanuel Forbes against the Jets, and you get a chance to practice against, you're not going to see it in the game, Aaron Rodgers throwing the football to Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams, the former Charger, that's a tandem that's better than the duo that Washington's got. And McLaurin stacks up, I think, favorably with those two. But Wilson's probably the shiftiest guy you'll have faced since the start of training camp. So I just a really good opportunity to gauge where he's at. I got two other guys that I'm really excited to see against the Jets. We can get to those names. And then the college football all-name team coming your way next. Danny is out. Grant solo with you, taking you up to 6:15 on the Fan. Kevin Clark of ESPN stops by, top of the hour at 5 o'clock. By the way, top of the hour, I just saw this number. It's pretty staggering. I want you guys to hear it. The Patriots were willing to pay Brandon Ayuk what before he decided he didn't want to play in New England? Wait till you hear how much it's being reported by the ESPN beat reporter up in Boston with the Patriots that they were willing to pay Brandon Ayuk, and he said, nah, I'm good, actually. Ayuk, who, you know, doesn't want to play in San Francisco and desperately wants to be traded, had a chance to be traded and decided against it. But with that in mind, so I'm actually glad it worked out this way because you were out Monday, Darius. It was just me, Ryan, and our guy Anthony, who made one of the great debuts in show history, by the way. He'd only ever said hello, and then he came on the air to answer the question, what is a food that you eat when you're young and it's awkward to eat when you're older? Based on Jacoby Brissett being out on chicken tenders because he's 31. So, like, I went with, you know, Chef Boyardee. Clary went with sugary cereal. And then he said breast milk, which was one of the first times I'd heard him speak. It was an incredible show debut.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's a choice. It's an option.
I was like, wow, okay. This guy is making his presence felt on the radio. That is an answer. But I present to you, I see this every year. I always think it's one of the funniest things on the internet. Different outlets put it out. This is from College Sports Only. The 2024 all-name team in college football. So best I can tell, these are real athletes. They post their like pages with their bio from their school websites. If they snuck one in that's fake, I guess that's possible. But there's pictures, there's some stats. Like these look like real people with these names. And they went position by position this year for this all-name team. So I'll just go through some of my favorites. The returning quarterback, many years now, as the quarterback of the all-name team in college football is General Booty. General Booty is a quarterback at ULM. So he is still on the all-name team. Always good. My wife always cracks up at that one.
I've played against him in my NCAA dynasty, so he is a real player.
Was he Booty or was he pretty good?
I would say he was. He lived up to his name.
Okay.
Yes.
He keeps transferring, not to bigger schools. So I can't imagine things are going great. The running back on this team is from Washington State, and his name is Djalvensky Schlenbaker, which I just think is a 10. I think if you count syllables, that's got to be up there among the most syllables said when calling play-by-play. You know, turns and gives. It's Djalvensky Schlenbaker. He's off to the races. That's a pretty good name for the running back who's a redshirt sophomore for Washington State.
Would love to hear Reese Davis or Chris Fowler try to do that one.
If he's in the Heisman race, can you imagine? Here's your wide receivers. We got three wideouts, and this is where it starts to get fun. DeColdest Crawford.
So yeah, I'm familiar with him. He's a real person.
DeColdest, DeColdest, which I think is an awesome name.
Unbelievably awesome.
Such a good name. Then there is DeRealest Clark. So this is D-A hyphen big R E-A-L-Y-S-T DeRealest Clark. So he's not fake. He's real, but he's not just real. He is DeRealest.
Okay, I follow. Yeah.
I also really like this name. And if we're doing this, you could just put DeRealest in front of anything, basically. Because now we've got DeColdest and DeRealest. We should have, like, the fastest. We could have the best. Like, we could do where that's going to be. I should name my next son that. I should text my wife. The best Paulson. Now, it's not that fair to the other Paulsons, but why wouldn't we do that? The Realist is a 10 out of 10. That might be one of my favorites. And then the third wide receiver representing Tulane, Fat Watts. P-H-A-T. Watts, W-A-T-T-S. Fat Watts out of Tulane. I think that's a really good name. Also feels like it's not on the birth certificate. Like at some point people started calling you fat. Whereas I'm kind of thinking the Realist is on the birth certificate. Like, can you imagine, by the way, you're in the hospital. Your baby boy was born. It's precious little 6-pound, 11-ounce skin and bones. He's in your hands. He's just the cutest little thing. And you're like, the Realist. You look like a the Realist. I love that. Tight end. You ready for the tight end on the all-name team? Rowdy Beers. R-O-W-D-Y, last name Beers, B-E-E-R-S.
Now that's good.
Now, I don't want to judge this guy who's a freshman from Valor Christian High School who's going to be playing at FIU. He's got to be the broiest bro that's ever broed. Like, I have to imagine he is not, like, you do not want to step on his shoe in Arlington. He's going to be like, Doug, what are you doing, man? He's going to try to fight you. Rowdy Beers is the name of this guy at FIU. Such a bro. Lock. What if he wasn't? What if he was just like this, like, rogue scholar who's just no bro tendencies at all? All right, next one. I like this one. We're on to the O-line now. Jaden Muskrat. Jaden Muskrat. M-U-S-K-R-A-T. Last name from Auburn. I always like just a cool animal last name. This is a phenomenal. This might be my one seed. This offensive lineman who's 6'5", 301 pounds. King Large. His first name is King. You know how to spell that, K-I-N-G. His last name is Large, as in not small or medium. King Large. Beat that, all-name team. This is College Sports Only on Twitter, put together the all-name team. Offensive lineman. This is a starter on the O-line. 6'1", 298, grad assistant. He plays at Ohio, home of the Bobcats. Ladies and gentlemen, Parker Titsworth. Looking for Parker Titsworth. T-I-T-S-W-O-R-T-H, in case you were curious.
I don't think you can say that name anymore. You've reached your limit.
It's a name.
Before I have to hit a button over here.
It's just a name. Just naming a guy who plays football. Dodge Saucer is an interesting one from Kennesaw State on the O-line. We got a kid from Virginia Tech on the O-line team name. Name team, I guess it's called. Hannes Hammer, which is pretty good. The last name Hammer is pretty damn good. H-A-M-M-E-R, just like the tool. Hannes Hammer. I don't think I'm allowed to say this one on the radio, but it's hilarious. On the D-line. Yeah, I'm not even going to spell it. I'm not going to do this one.
Yeah, let's skip that one.
I'll send that one to you. Right. If you guys really want to know that one, you'll have to hit me up at Grant H. Paulson, and I'll just send you his player bio. I think I could say it because it's a name, but now you're in my head a little bit. You got me a little nervous. Defensive lineman from Charlotte, Demon Clowney. D-E-M-O-N. Maybe it's Demon. Demon Clowney. But it looks like Demon Clowney. So I hope it's that.
Any relation to that's famous a great Jadeveon question. Clowney?
Is Jadeveon Clowney from Baltimore?
Ooh.
Demon Clowney apparently is from Baltimore.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think he's from Baltimore. I should know that. But
I think we would know that.
Yeah.
Edge. Guy's name is Thunder Keck. K-E-C-K. First name Thunder.
Spell the last name?
K-E-C-K.
Wow.
At Stanford.
Thunder. First name Thunder is, that's a strong one.
That's excellent. Again, probably not on the birth certificate. But if you go by it, I think that's what matters, really. This was my wife's favorite. This one's just hysterical. He looks like a bit of a like a nerdy non-football player who was in the marching band, but he's a linebacker at Duke. I'm going to say he's like on the football team, but also on the swim team somehow. This guy's name is, sounds like a horse in the Kentucky Derby. Memorable Factor. First name, Memorable. Second name, Factor.
All right, you made that one up.
No, goes to Duke. 5'11", junior, went to Westminster School. His hometown is London, England. Memorable Factor. All name team. There's another linebacker here named Power Eccles. I like Power Eccles. There's a linebacker from Nebraska on the all name team. Chief Borders. I get psyched for Chief Borders. Bring him to D.C. 6'4", 245 from Chicago, Illinois. I don't believe this one for 1 second. Now, he's a real person. I'm looking at his bio. I'm seeing where he's listed on the Rice Owls roster. But I think someone's playing a prank, or he's playing a prank, or his mom, or somebody's in on it. His name is Mobility. His first name is M-O-H, and his last name is Bility, B-I-L-I-T-Y, which is the greatest name you could possibly ever have. Like, if you're a dual-threat quarterback, he happens to be a member of the secondary, so I'm quite sure he has Mobility. But redshirt sophomore from North Dallas High School in Dallas, Texas, Mobility.
Of the Bility family, of course. Yeah.
Many Bilities.
So many Bilities. I know them.
My swim team coach's name was Crystal Ball. I've told you guys this before. They were in on the bit. The last name was Ball. They named their daughter Crystal. Did the Bility say, we got to name him Mo?
Of course. Absolutely.
Here's a bad name that you shouldn't be called as a defensive back. From LSU, Major Burns. That's like a baseball pitcher from the Rays back in the day, Grant Balfour, whose name was, it was a pitcher with the last name Balfour, B-A-L-L-F-O-U-R, or former Commanders kicking legend, Chris Blewett. It'd be like a quarterback with the last name Interception.
He should switch to wide receiver. That'd be cool as a wide receiver.
That would be very good.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one more. DB, love this one. Well, there's two more really good ones. Both DBs from UTSA, Texas San Antonio, Pig Cage. I think that's awesome. Again, if there is an animal as part of your name, I am all the way in. And then the last one here, DB from Central Arkansas on the 2024 College Football All-Name Team, Dude Person. I love that. First name Dude, last name Person. So I'm now rooting. These are my favorite college football players. I'm going to go full Pete Medhurst and just lock in on these guys all college football season. I'm going to be monitoring them as closely as possible. But those are the names on the allegedly real names, supposedly. I'm being told. I'm looking at evidence that they're real on the 2024 all-name team from this account, which is awesome.
I can't wait for your first tweet where you're breaking down Mobility's coverage capabilities.
Lacks a little mobility. Mobility does. Kevin Clark of ESPN next on G&D. Kevin Clark of ESPN stops by top of the hour at 5 o'clock. By the way, top of the hour, I just saw this number. It's pretty staggering. I want you guys to hear it. The Patriots were willing to pay Brandon Ayuk what before he decided he didn't want to play in New England? Wait till you hear how much it's being reported by the ESPN beat reporter up in Boston with the Patriots that they were willing to pay Brandon Ayuk, and he said, nah, I'm good, actually. Ayuk, who, you know, doesn't want to play in San Francisco and desperately wants to be traded, had a chance to be traded and decided against it. But with that in mind, so I'm actually glad it worked out this way because you were out Monday, Darius. It was just me, Ryan, and our guy Anthony, who made one of the great debuts in show history, by the way. He'd only ever said hello, and then he came on the air to answer the question, what is a food that you eat when you're young and it's awkward to eat when you're older? Based on Jacoby Brissett being out on chicken tenders because he's 31. So, like, I went with, you know, Chef Boyardee. Clary went with sugary cereal. And then he said breast milk, which was one of the first times I'd heard him speak. It was an incredible show debut.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's a choice. It's an option.
I was like, wow, okay. This guy is making his presence felt on the radio. That is an answer. But I present to you, I see this every year. I always think it's one of the funniest things on the internet. Different outlets put it out. This is from College Sports Only. The 2024 all-name team in college football. So best I can tell, these are real athletes. They post their like pages with their bio from their school websites. If they snuck one in that's fake, I guess that's possible, but there's pictures, there's some stats. Like, these look like real people with these names. And they went position by position this year for this all-name team. So I'll just go through some of my favorites. The returning quarterback, many years now, as the quarterback of the all-name team in college football is General Booty. General Booty is a quarterback at ULM, so he is still on the all-name team. Always good. My wife always cracks up at that one.
I've played against him in my NCAA dynasty, so he is a real player.
Was he Booty or was he pretty good?
I would say he was. He lived up to his name.
Okay.
Yes.
He keeps transferring, not to bigger schools, so I can't imagine things are going great. The running back on this team is from Washington State, and his name is Djalvinsky Schlenbaker, which I just think is a 10. I think if you count syllables, that's got to be up there among the most syllables said when calling play-by-play. You know, turns and gives. It's Djalvinsky Schlenbaker. He's off to the races. That's a pretty good name for the running back who's a redshirt sophomore for Washington State.
Would love to hear Reese Davis or Chris Fowler try to do that one.
If he's in the Heisman race, can you imagine? Here's your wide receivers. We got three wideouts, and this is where it starts to get fun. DeColdest Crawford.
So yeah, I'm familiar with him. He's a real person.
DeColdest, DeColdest, which I think is an awesome name.
Unbelievably awesome.
Such a good name. Then there is DeRealest Clark. So this is D-A hyphen big R E-A-L-Y-S-T DeRealest Clark. So he's not fake. He's real, but he's not just real. He is DeRealest.
Okay, I follow. Yeah.
I also really like this name. And if we're doing this, you could just put "duh" in front of anything, basically. Because now we've got DeColdest and DeRealest. We should have like the fastest. We could have the best. Like we could do where that's gonna be. I should name my next son that. I should text my wife the best Paulson. Now it's not that fair to the other Paulsons, but why wouldn't we do that? DeRealest is a 10 out of 10. That might be one of my favorites. And then the third wide receiver representing Tulane, Fat Watts, P-H-A-T. Watts, W-A-T-T-S, Fat Watts out of Tulane. I think that's a really good name. Also feels like it's not on the birth certificate. Like at some point people started calling you fat. Whereas I'm kind of thinking DeRealest is on the birth certificate. Like, can you imagine, by the way, you're in the hospital. Your baby boy was born. It's precious little 6-pound, 11-ounce skin and bones. He's in your hands. He's just the cutest little thing. And you're like, DeRealest. You look like a DeRealest. I love that. Tight end. You ready for the tight end on the all-name team? Rowdy Beers. R-O-W-D-Y, last name Beers, B-E-E-R-S.
Now that's good.
Now, I don't want to judge this guy who's a freshman from Valor Christian High School who's going to be playing at FIU. He's got to be the broiest bro that's ever broed. Like, I have to imagine he is not, like, you do not want to step on his shoe in Arlington. He's going to be like, Doug, what are you doing, man? He's going to try to fight you. Rowdy Beers is the name of this guy at FIU. Such a bro. Lock. What if he wasn't? What if he was just like this, like, rogue scholar, just no bro tendencies at all? All right, next one. I like this one. We're on to the O-line now. Jaden Muskrat. M-U-S-K-R-A-T. Last name from Auburn. I always like just a cool animal last name. This is a phenomenal. This might be my one seed. This offensive lineman who's 6'5", 301 pounds. King Large. His first name is King. You know how to spell that, K-I-N-G. His last name is Large, as in not small or medium. King Large. Beat that, all-name team. This is College Sports Only on Twitter, put together the all-name team. Offensive lineman. This is a starter on the O-line. 6'1", 298, grad assistant. He plays at Ohio, home of the Bobcats. Ladies and gentlemen, Parker Titsworth. Looking for Parker Titsworth. T-I-T-S-W-O-R-T-H, in case you were curious.
I don't think you can say that name anymore. You've reached your limit.
It's a name.
Before I have to hit a button over here.
It's just a name. Just naming a guy who plays football. Dodge Saucer is an interesting one from Kennesaw State on the O-line. We got a kid from Virginia Tech on the O-line team name. Name team, I guess it's called. Hannes Hammer, which is pretty good. The last name Hammer is pretty damn good. H-A-M-M-E-R, just like the tool. Hannes Hammer. I don't think I'm allowed to say this one on the radio, but it's hilarious. On the D-line. Yeah, I'm not even going to spell it. I'm not going to do this one.
Yeah, let's skip that one.
I'll send that one to you. Right. If you guys really want to know that one, you'll have to hit me up at Grant H. Paulson, and I'll just send you his player bio. I think I could say it because it's a name, but now you're in my head a little bit. You got me a little nervous. Defensive lineman from Charlotte, Demon Clowney. D-E-M-O-N. Maybe it's Demon. Demon Clowney. But it looks like Demon Clowney. So I hope it's that.
Any relation to the famous Jadeveon Clowney?
Is Jadeveon Clowney from Baltimore?
Ooh.
Demon Clowney apparently is from Baltimore.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think he's from Baltimore. I should know that. But
I think we would know that.
Yeah.
Edge. Guy's name is Thunder Keck. K-E-C-K. First name Thunder.
Spell the last name?
K-E-C-K.
Wow.
At Stanford.
Thunder. First name Thunder that's a strong one.
That's excellent. Again, probably not on the birth certificate. But if you go by it, I think that's what matters, really. This was my wife's favorite. This one's just hysterical. He looks like a bit of a like a nerdy non-football player who was in the marching band, but he's a linebacker at Duke. I'm going to say he's like on the football team, but also on the swim team somehow. This guy's name sounds like a horse in the Kentucky Derby. Memorable Factor. First name, Memorable. Second name, Factor.
All right, you made that one up.
No, goes to Duke. 5'11", junior, went to Westminster School. His hometown is London, England. Memorable Factor, all-name team. There's another linebacker here named Power Eccles. I like Power Eccles. There's a linebacker from Nebraska on the all-name team, Chief Borders. I get sized for Chief Borders. Bring him to D.C. 6'4", 245 from Chicago, Illinois. I don't believe this one for 1 second. Now, he's a real person. I'm looking at his bio. I'm seeing where he's listed on the Rice Owls roster. But I think someone's playing a prank, or he's playing a prank, or his mom, or somebody's in on it. His name is Mobility. His first name is M-O-H, and his last name is Bility, B-I-L-I-T-Y, which is the greatest name you could possibly ever have. Like if you're a dual-threat quarterback, he happens to be a member of the secondary, so I'm quite sure he has Mobility. But redshirt sophomore from North Dallas High School in Dallas, Texas, Mobility.
Of the Bility family, of course. Yeah.
Many Bilities.
So many Bilities. I know them.
My swim team coach's name was Crystal Ball. I've told you guys this before. They were in on the bit. The last name was Ball. They named their daughter Crystal. Did the Bility say, we got to name him Mo?
Of course. Absolutely.
Here's a bad name that you shouldn't be called as a defensive back. From LSU, Major Burns. That's like a baseball pitcher from the Rays back in the day, Grant Balfour, whose name was, it was a pitcher with the last name Balfour, B-A-L-L-F-O-U-R, or former Commanders kicking legend, Chris Blewett. It'd be like a quarterback with the last name Interception.
He should switch to wide receiver. That'd be cool as a wide receiver.
That would be very good.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one more. DB, love this one. Well, there's two more really good ones. Both DBs from UTSA, Texas San Antonio, Pig Cage. I think that's awesome. Again, if there is an animal as part of your name, I am all the way in. And then the last one here, DB from Central Arkansas on the 2024 College Football All-Name Team, Dude Person. I love that. First name Dude, last name Person. So I'm now rooting. These are my favorite college football players. I'm going to go full Pete Medhurst and just lock in on these guys all college football season. I'm going to be monitoring them as closely as possible. But those are the names on the allegedly real names, supposedly. I'm being told. I'm looking at evidence that they're real on the 2024 all-name team from this account, which is awesome.
I can't wait for your first tweet where you're breaking down Mobility's coverage Steam. Capabilities.
Lacks a little mobility. Mobility does. Kevin Clark of ESPN next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.